Thank you, Joel. Thank you, team. I had the privilege of being at the Deacon's Retreat on Friday into Saturday, and one of the things we were talking about is just all of the different people that labor together for a Sunday morning to happen. And, you know, not just the deacons, not just the elders, the music team, tech team, people putting cones out by the road, people, so many things, and then you get into all the Sunday school classes. And it's a joy to be part of a body that is really dedicated to following the Lord. And, today we're talking about the weapon of prayer from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. But I'm going to ask you first to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5 as a starting place in thinking about the nature of our lives, what we experience. Some people will question whether prayer is a weapon, and or is it a means of using the weapon. It's kind of like a discussion of, is gunpowder a weapon, or is it the means of using a weapon? You could think about that, but clearly we're talking about the idea of weaponry, of battles, those kinds of things in what we're looking at in Ephesians 6, as well as what it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. And it says, for though we walk according to the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments in every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And that's a lot of what we'll be talking about today, that taking our thoughts captive to obey Christ and this spiritual battle that we're in. And the context of what we're talking about is found in Ephesians 6, 18 to 20, so I'll ask you to turn there. And one of the important things to do in Bible study is to know your context. What's in the neighborhood around the verses that you're looking at? And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the context and kind of walked back into the prison epistles. Ephesians is one of the prison epistles. Colossians is another one. And they kind of journey together, those two particular books. And I'll later share a little aha I had, but this book of Ephesians is written from a jail cell, and it's written to a group of believers, and this wonderful chapters 1 through 3 that gives us the calling that God has given to us that we certainly don't deserve. We better believe it, but we don't deserve it. And out of this, in chapter 4, verse 1, it's this command to walk worthy of the calling that we have received. That's what we're to be doing, is walking worthy of this calling. And part of walking worthy of that calling would be being filled with the Spirit of God. And Pastor Eric, a few weeks ago, shared on that, and maybe you remember that balance he had, and I heard some comments about why different blocks were different colors and all of that. What the red ones were the flesh, but somebody said they should be representing the blood of Christ. Anyway, maybe it gets you back to remembering those particular ones. And then my aha moment this week, I was studying Ephesians and also Colossians, and this relationships God's way. Pastor Eric spent like 3 weeks on relationships and doing them God's way instead of man's way. And my aha moment was this, that right after that, in both Ephesians and Colossians, there's these instructions on prayer. Now, in Ephesians, there's this segue into the spiritual armor. But both of them give us instructions on prayer right after relationships. And I don't know about you, sometimes I'll run into something in God's Word and it'll just kind of make me stop and think for a while. And I got to thinking about how important is prayer in your relationships? How important is prayer in my relationships? And I just started thinking through different relationships in my relationship with my wife. You know, we've been married almost 40 years. And if you're newly married or you're dating, you might think you always get what you want, but you don't. And the question is, what do you do in your relationship when you don't get what you want out of the relationship? And it caused me to stop and think through. Well, I've learned that if you start by giving thanks for your spouse, this is a very, very good place to start. And then if the next thing you do is ask yourself before the Lord and ask the Lord to reveal ways that you're contributing to the problem, this helps a lot too. And I've also learned it's very helpful to ask God for wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. These are very helpful things to do before you talk to your spouse when you're struggling with something. And I got to thinking, I wonder how different the relationships of Millersville Bible Church would be if that was the normal way that people approach their relationships with their spouse. Maybe that's your takeaway. Maybe everything else I say you won't bother with. But if you got that one and it really impacted the way you approach each other, and then you can apply that in a parent-child relationship. Now, there's some children and youth here, and maybe sometimes your parents do things that irritate you. Maybe once in a while. I don't know. And I wonder how different it would be if the children would stop and first, give thanks to the Lord for their parents. And then if they were to ask the Lord, in what ways am I contributing to the problem? Search my heart, try me, test me, see if there's any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. And then they ask for wisdom. I wonder how that would change the way children might think about their parents. And of course, parents, you could do the same, right? Oftentimes, parents don't understand what their children are going through. I remember seeing this comic where they're sitting at a table, and the children say, when they say, act your age, what my parents actually mean is they want me to act their age, right? As parents, we need to have understanding of what our children are facing and being able to pray for them so that we relate properly to them. And then, of course, the work environment. How many times does a work environment create stresses and struggles, and it can turn into real blow-ups and things like that? Well, what if you did the same things in your work environment? How might that change the way you approach your work environment? And we could go on with these things. But that was a big aha to me when I noticed that right after relationships in both Ephesians and Colossians, the next instructions have to do with spiritual battle and prayer. But this particular message follows on the heels of what Brother Gene Strait did with regard to winning the spiritual battles that we face. And if you haven't listened to that message, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that. Not right now, but I encourage you to go back and listen to that together with this message. Because when Brother Gene was putting this message together, he and I were talking, and he said, you know, it just feels like we should have a message just on prayer. And I said, yeah, we'll do that. I don't feel like you have to go through all the weapons and everything, all the instructions on prayer, because it is so vital to winning the spiritual battles that we face. Well, another important thing to understand when you're studying Scripture is looking for repeated words. When a word is repeated over and over again, it's probably important. And don't overlook the little words. In this particular case, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit, and you know, it's directly connected to the weapons, directly connected, it just isn't a different thought. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, the word that's translated all, there's actually two different words, but they both essentially mean all or every. I'm not going to get into all the Greek behind it, but just to rather say, this is all inclusive. And we were talking about this in staff meeting as to, okay, when we talk about prayer, what are we actually talking about? And I owe our dear brother John Birkenbein for this one. Engaging in the reality of the presence of God. Isn't that what prayer is? It's recognizing that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's with you. And so at any time, you can be talking to Him, no matter what circumstances you're in. And sometimes it can feel like the way is blocked. That maybe you start by asking God to search you, try you, test you, see if there's any wicked way, and He leads you in the way everlasting, and pay attention to what He reveals and ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him for cleansing, ask Him for empowerment. I mean, this is part of prayer, but it's all kinds of prayers in the Spirit, prayer and supplication. It's to permeate our relationship with the Lord, the last song that we sung, that friendship, I want to know you, that it should permeate. Christ should permeate our lives. It's not like, well, I have this prayer time, and then I do my life. Right? There is times to have prayer time. But that our relationship with the Lord should permeate. I think in that staff meeting, one of the things we talked about was the idea of you get up in the morning and say, good morning, Father. And you present your day. You talk to the Lord through the day, and at the end of the day, you say, thank you, Father. Good night. I'll see you in the morning. Right? It's a relational thing. So when you preach on prayer, you feel inadequate. When people hear a message on prayer, they usually feel guilty. And those kinds of things. And that's not the intent of this time. It's to say, think about it relationally and recognize you're in a battle, you're in a war, and the captain of the Lord's army is there for you. Learn to fight the battle. Make sure you're making use of everything God has given you in order to fight the battle so you don't end up as a casualty. And it says to keep alert with all perseverance, to stay up, stay awake. It seems when you read Scripture that there's a lot of times where the temptation with regard to prayer is to fall asleep. Right? Right? We can all identify with that. It's one of the temptations, but to stay at it with all perseverance, to diligently remain at the work God has called you to stay in the battle, to not give up. Jesus tells a parable in Luke 18, and the reason for the parable is so that people wouldn't give up. You can have the best relationship, you can have the most talent, you can have the most spiritual gifts, and if you give up, you're a casualty and you're on the sideline. Those of us who maybe aren't as talented, aren't as gifted, but stay in the battle, I've noticed that those who stay in the battle are the ones who win. Does that make sense? If you're going to win, you have to stay in the battle. You can't give up. And it doesn't really matter how you feel. If you only pray when you feel like it, what? What? Say it. John, what? Yeah, rarely, rarely. Our problem often is we try to follow the Lord by our feelings, recognizing that our feelings are very undependable. There are times when your feelings are helpful. You're singing these wonderful songs and you're brought up, and it's a wonderful thing, but you can't depend on your feelings to keep you in the game all of the time. Well, those of us who were at the Seder, they had some materials at the Seder, and one of them was a magazine, Friends of Israel, and I was reading a message. Something in there about prayer and came across this word, Hebrew word for prayer, and according to my sources that include Pastor Eric, it's tefillah. Did I say that right? Okay, tefillah. But I really like this, an awakening of the hidden love of the heart. That's how the Hebrews thought about prayer, an awakening of the hidden love of your heart. But it goes on to, and that sounds wonderful, and that's wonderful, until you get the next part. In times of trouble or impending danger, prayer is our immediate connection to talk with God, who's the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. We don't like trouble, but trouble tends to awaken the hidden love of our heart for God. Now, if you were God and your biggest desire was for your people to draw near to you, and you knew that people left to their own will say, "I got this," what would you do? If your biggest desire was to draw people close, but those people, if they don't have any trouble in their life, tend to depend on themselves, okay, what would you do? Psalm 119 says, "In your goodness you afflicted me that I might learn your ways." We tend to not put those words together, goodness and affliction. God puts them together, so you need to think about it. As I was thinking about this message, there was a message I heard years ago by Jim Cimbala. He's a pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it was a message he gave at the religious broadcasters called, "My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer." This is the heart's cry of Jesus when he goes into Jerusalem. "My house shall be called a house of prayer." That message, I've listened to it a number of times. It always challenges me. And he talks about this. You know, you're in trouble, pray. You know, something good happens, pray. This relationship nature of prayer. To continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful and thankful. The school of prayer. We could talk a lot more about what Jim Cimbala went through in preparing that message. It's in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. You could go read it if you have more interest in it. But this tendency for us to make our relationship about everything but prayer. There's little cards out there, or these guys that some people fill out, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. You know, our desire is that each of you would be vitally connected somewhere within Millersville Bible Church, and people know you, you know them, they're praying for you, you're praying for them. You're able to share your praises with them and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You're able to share the concerns of your heart and be meaningfully prayed for. But we put these out here, and he said, you know, if you're not very connected right now and you want us to pray for you, you know, go ahead and do that. Or there's just something that's really eating at you that you would like one of the staff, the elders, to pray for. You know, fill one out. I had someone after first service come up to me and say, you know, I've just been at a really dark spot. And this message really challenged me. And I said, you know what? You got some people to pray with you and pray for you? And I said, go ahead and fill one of these out and give it to me. We'll see you prayed for in a staff meeting or elder meeting somewhere. It's important that we connect with one another. Next week, we'll be talking about spiritual friendship. And, you know, this isn't a business relationship. This is a family. And we want to support one another in the family of God. Well, we had given these out, and we got a number of these really cool praises and requests, and I want to share one of them with you. My reason for praising the Lord and giving thanks. We were able to worship together through the pandemic. Is that a reason to give thanks? I can remember when things got really difficult last fall, I got a phone call from someone and said, please, whatever you do, don't shut the church. You know, we'll do whatever. We'll wear masks. But just don't shut the church. And we've been able to fellowship together, a reason to give thanks. And God's used the pandemic. We've got people watching around the world. And we've got people watching who would never come in this place, and even some of my own extended family, hear about them watching a message. It's amazing. It's not what we would have chosen. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. So we're going to stop right now, and rather than just a message on prayer, we're actually going to pray. Isn't that a novel idea? So I gave you a couple of things up there that we received. There's another slide that's going to come up with prayer requests. We're just going to take a couple minutes, and you can pray with your eyes open if you like, and just praise God together with these. And maybe you have some other things you just want to praise the Lord for right now, where you are. And then I'm going to change to the other slide that has some prayer requests, and I'll close in prayer. We'll just be quiet for a couple of minutes. All right. Father, you are good. You have allowed us to keep meeting, and we give you thanks. We thank you, Father, that you've even used COVID as a means to extend our ministry into the lives of others who can't be with us or don't choose to be with us. And Father, we have these requests. We think of just the desire that we have that you would be free to flow through us, that we would reach into the lives of family members, friends, neighbors, coworkers, who don't know the gospel, who don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Father, you would be using us. You would find in us people through whom you can speak, and you would give us words to say. And Father, I think of these other requests, and I just enjoy some of them. We know you answered this one, that this person wouldn't freeze at the sunrise service. And Father, we thank you that there was no ambulance called to the sunrise service. We thank you for your goodness in these things. Thank you that you care about the smallest things of our lives because you're such a great and an awesome God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And sometimes when it comes to weapons, we tend to talk about things rather than using them. You know, I like guns, not necessarily handguns, but you know, big guns. And you know, as a friend, that he and I were talking, and he was telling me all about this gun he has, and all about the scope, and how he's ending up writing about it in a magazine and everything. And you know, guys would get together and talk about that kind of stuff, and shows, and ooh and ah and all that. And I said, "How's it shoot?" He said, "I don't know. I've never shot it." It's like, we can have all kinds of messages about prayer and how awesome it is that we have access to God and Christ has purchased the way for us and he's ever living to intercede for us. And in this amazing, and you know, there's praises and there's thanksgivings and there's intercessions and confessions and all these things. And we could, you know, we could go for a whole semester talking about it. The point is to pray, right? Please don't go out of here and say, "Oh, that was a good message or bad message on prayer or whatever," and that's the sum total of what happens. I got a couple prayer requests and praises from Janelle Miller. She was up here. She's part of the NAVS staff. And we also have a video from John Birkenbein with regard to their ministry at MU, because not only is this all kinds of prayers and requests, but amazingly, the Apostle Paul, who's helped start the church at Ephesus, who's written to them, who's been praying for them, now says to them, "Please pray for me." And he doesn't say, "Pray for me that I'll get out of prison." That isn't what he says. It's about the gospel going forward. And don't just think about spiritual war and prayer as defensive, but think about it storming the gates of hell on behalf of other people. You know, we are to be building with Christ because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that Jesus Christ is building. It says in verse 19, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, how I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's listen to John for a couple of minutes.
Hey, NBC, thanks for taking some time out this Sunday to pray for my family and for our ministry here at Millersville.
Raising a young family can be squirrely. Two young, energetic boys, Millie and I figuring out what it looks like to be married and parent and be in ministry together can be a real battle. Would you pray for our family? God would protect us from the evil one, that we would be able to disciple our children well. I often pray for our boys that they would grow like God's son grew, that they would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with men. In just a few weeks, Melanie and I will celebrate our 12th year of marriage. We are a little bit beyond the newlywed stage, but by no means graduated beyond the difficulties of marriage. Would you pray that Melanie and I would grow in intimacy together, that we would grow in partnership, in understanding, that I would be able to love her in an understanding way, and that we would be able to glorify God, and that our greatest ministry to others would be in the way that we love one another. I believe that the college campus is one of the most strategic places to advance the kingdom, a place full of 18 to 22 year olds who are trying to think about what their future looks like. Being on a secular campus, God is not something that's seen as favorable. Many professors and classes are going to actively encourage students to follow their own desires. And we are countercultural. So we are participating in the battle for the students' souls. This time of year brings unique challenges. It's a bittersweet time on campus. We are just weeks away from graduating 25% of our ministry. Students who we've developed close relationships with, who we've watched grow, we'll be moving on to future jobs and relationships and careers and won't be here with us anymore. That's a sweet thing, but it's bitter to watch them leave. But spring and summer are also hard times to follow God. There's an excitement that comes with the fall and depression that comes with the winter that reminds us of our dependence on God. But as it starts to get nice again in the spring, it's so easy to get caught up in the things that you are doing and the nice weather outside and completely forget about your walk with God.
Would you pray with us for the souls of our students on campus? Would you pray that this spring and summer, God would draw them close to Himself and that they would take this time to grow deeper and more intimate in their walk with God and not have summer be a slide back or a step back in their walk with God? Thanks. See ya. Deuces.
Well, let's pray for them. Father, thank you for John and Melanie, their children, and requests there. We realize that shepherding the next generation is so important, and fighting the battles that our walk with you, our walk with our spouse, would be that which is honoring to you, brings glory to you, is that which encourages those around. And Father, I thank you for Seth and Janelle as well, and for you providing a new place for them. We pray for them as they seek to reach out in a new neighborhood, that you will give them the words to say, you will enable them to know how to interact with the people around. And Father, as both John and Janelle reach out on campus, I pray that you would be giving them opportunities for the gospel. You would be enabling them to know how to give a reason for the hope that's within them with gentleness and respect, and to be shepherding those who are graduating this year and helping them to think about life beyond college, that you would give them the ability to help these students finish well and to have a vision for you beyond their college years. And thank you, Father, that we can participate together with them in reaching both out into Millersville University and into the neighborhoods. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you with a couple other resources that we have out there. Tomorrow starts Ramadan, and the 30 days of prayer for the Muslim world. Half of these are related to groups of Muslims here in the United States. You know, the Lord is bringing the world to us. There's some places you can't go, but you can go through prayer, and who knows how the Lord would be pleased to use us in the lives of Muslims that are right here in the United States. Dave put together for the children's bulletin 5 days of prayer for the Muslim world for children. And I want to encourage you to take those and pray for them. And we always have out there prayer partners and missions, the prayer calendar of our missionaries. And it's important for us to be praying for those who are going out for the sake of the name. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't have these, they're out there on the table. Take one for your family, and let's challenge ourselves to be praying one for another. And as we wrap up, I want to ask a few questions. How are you using the weapon of prayer in your spiritual battle? What hindrances do you encounter when you engage in the battles? And I want you to remember some encouragements from the Lord. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He told them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And in that context, it was when the disciples were sleeping. This last thought, may the hardships of life be used to awaken the hidden love within your heart.